Congregation, we will begin this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 325, all four stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. We sing 325, all four stanzas.
Thank you.
you make known to the congregation that the collection for this evening will be for the mission. Scripture reading for this evening will be found in the prophecies of Hosea, and we will read chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, "We have no king, because we fear not the Lord. What then should a king do to us?" They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth-Aven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jerob. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Aven, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them. And the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth-Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Thus far.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us now try to seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer. Most holy, ever living, and faithful being, thou dost gather us in this midweek service in thy house of prayer, round about thy word and eternal testimony. And that is because thou, in thy long suffering, still bears with this world. But Lord, not only because of thy long suffering, thou also reveals in this evening by renewal that there are still those under that seal of election, and that also they must be brought in, and thou hast instituted the means, especially of the preaching, to call those out of their darkness into the marvelous light. And wilt thou favor us this evening with such dealings, that tonight in this place thou wouldst reveal that work from the stillness of eternity, that thou dost regenerate what is unconverted, that thou placest a new heart in a boy, in a girl, in a young man or a young woman, of a mother, a father, or of a middle-aged or older one. The conversion of thy people, that is thy work. And we ask thee tonight, Lord, perform it. Oh, we are not able to present unto thee worthiness or merit, but thou hast sent thy Son, and thou hast received him again in his ascension, and granted unto him that place at thy right hand. And thou wast in him reconciling the world unto thyself. Wilt thou this evening have dealings with us according to that foundation in which thou hast been well pleased, which thou hast laid thyself, and which thou wilt glorify thyself, thy Son Jesus Christ, the only hope and expectation? All wilt thou reveal tonight, Lord, that he also yet prays for us and our children, that also, Lord, he at the right hand of the Father is not maintaining us in his long suffering, but in his love and tender mercy, in his loving kindness, in the benefits of that covenant of grace, that thou dost maintain thy work by the exercises and the strengthening of true saving faith. Oh, what would it be a wonder tonight, Lord, if that token may be left behind, that thou hast such dealings with us for Christ's sake. And then it is also an evening, Lord, to commemorate what thou hast given, and that was a reformation. And what thou gave, Lord, more than 500 years ago, we need it again. Because the candlestick, that light, oh, thou knowest, Lord, how dim it is shining, how dark it has become in the world because of the church, because we radiate so little of that true sense that we are strangers and pilgrims here below, that we as church people have become so world conform, that there is such little jealousy upon that work which thou dost give in the heart. And where it was in years gone by, Lord, although it was there really is no difference, because it is always the same. But thou didst give clarity with that grace that thou didst give. And may we ask thee, Lord, then also tonight, that we may receive to bring thy word, and that thy word may have power and effect also in the lives of thy people. Thou knowest what they need. Our Lord, that is humility, because we have so much arrogance, we have so much pride. Oh Lord, thou knowest how far we are from our place, but may we confess in this evening hour that, as what it is recorded by the prophet, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But may it now also go forth tonight: in me is thy help found. And Lord, wilt thou grant and the north wind and the south wind, that they may blow upon thy garden. And all, Lord, the winds are blowing, because thou art pressing the footsteps of thy second coming, where in the midst of this world there are the wars and rumors of war, and especially in a particular area, the Middle East. And Lord, then thou knowest the end from the beginning. What came to us as a surprise was thy eternal counsel. And thou wilt use even evil to bring thy people on the right place. May we therefore also pray for thy people Israel, where thou hast given that promise in thy own word, that thou wilt return to them. And Lord, then thou knowest how. May we lay it before thee. But remember also, Lord, those who are suffering under that rule of evil. Oh, that also all has its consequences because of sin, Lord. Thy word reveals it clearly, because it is that line from Ishmael and Isaac. And Ishmael was work of unbelief, and thou never rewards that. Thou wilt always come against that, O Lord, that we may stay by the simplicity of thy word, but also that thou wouldst bring us in our inner chambers. Lord, wilt thou grant prayer for that people? Wilt thou remember then also this congregation, where they may be, as it were, in the days of their infancy, where so recently yet they were established? Lord, may we lay before thee the brothers, elders, and deacons. Wilt thou help them in the office whereunto thou hast called, and that they may also receive what is necessary to lead this people? And could it be from Sunday to Sunday, that they may receive also from thee dealings with what must be read, and that the fruits may reveal in truth and in sincerity that thou also blessest those labors? May we lay before thee the congregation as a whole. Lord, wilt thou grant in this place true conversions? Grant the strengthening of the faith of thy people. And now also, Lord, they are vacant. Grant unto them a man of thy own choosing, who may be amongst them as a shepherd and a teacher. Wilt thou lay the need of this flock in the heart of one of thy servants? May we lay before thee the sick and the afflicted. Wilt thou look upon them in mercy? Wilt thou remember those who mourn the loss of loved ones, the widows, the widowers, the orphans, and those who know what it is to lose siblings, but also parents. We lay the mourning families before thee, but also those who know what it is to lose children when they were in the womb yet, stillbirths. Oh, wilt thou remember them also, Lord? As so every home has its own cross and burden. But may we ask of thee for the sick, the afflicted, and the mourning ones, that above all those ways may be sanctified by thee, because they are callings. And Lord, we need ears to hear and hearts to observe, and grant that blessing with the callings. Wilt thou remember the needs of the rising generation, our baptized seed? Wilt thou lay in their young hearts what also thou didst lay at times in the young hearts of those who became later reformers, whom thou didst place in the churches as great lights? Lord, remember our young people with that. Give unto them the impressions of the truth, that thou art God, and that they cannot meet thee the way that they are born, that they need a new heart. Oh, Lord, bind them to thy throne of grace. Remember their baptized foreheads. Wilt thou remember then thy own covenant, and that thou wouldst raise up from amongst them, as how thou raised up Noah, a monument in the midst of all the evil, a monument of free and sovereign grace. Thou art the same. Wilt thou remember, Lord, the needs of the parents who have received children out of thy hand to raise them? Thou knowest our impossibility. Who shall bring forth a clean out of an unclean? But may we therefore also need that water of baptism, that may also bind to the throne of grace, Lord. And then will they live in the days of methods and counseling and how to parent. But Lord, we need thee. And may that also be exercised in the midst of the congregation. Parents on their knees, with no right to that benefit of that covenant of grace, but as unworthy ones. Then, Lord, thou dost hear the poor and the needy when they cry, give such sires for the rising generation. Wilt thou remember, Lord, the needs of our Christian school, that great privilege which we may have? Wilt thou bless the education? Remember those who received their education in other places. Wilt thou also bless it there? Also in secondary education, the universities and the colleges, Lord, wilt thou protect from the influences of the world? Wilt thou remember also our nation, far gone on that broadway of destruction, and that has a price, Lord? Thy judgments stand before the door. We are a nation that hardens ourselves under the callings. Oh, Lord, it is only thy long-suffering that thou hast not dealt with us according to what we have deserved. But wilt thou grant, Lord, yet men whom thou dost raise up to point the government to the morals of thy own holy word. Bless their labors, increase their number. Wilt thou remember, Lord, also the needs of thy church worldwide? Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, remember them especially. wilt thou remember the needs of those who may labor in remote places, our mission fields. Wherever that takes place in simplicity and in truth, wilt thou look upon it. And remember to that end our own mission field. Bless the labors there, the team, remember them, thy servants, look upon them. Wilt thou remember also, Lord, the needs of thy servants, wherever that they labor. Thou knowest where, thou knowest how. Grant unto them the unction of thy dear Holy Spirit, could it also be tonight, Lord, in this place, that thou wouldst help him who stands before that task to bring thy word. Oh, may he receive that fresh oil. May he receive that love unto never dying souls. And may he be used as an ambassador for Christ's sake, that souls may yet be called to reconciliation with God their Maker. But also, your Lord, fill him tonight, that thy Zion may receive a testimony in their heart that Joseph is alive and that he is ruler over all of Egypt. Oh, Lord, then here we stand between these people, and thy word lays between us. And now we beg thee for the opening of it. Lord, wilt thou be in this place tonight with thy Holy Spirit, converting what is unconverted, but establishing that faith that thou hast planted in that only name, Jesus Christ and him crucified. May we bring it forth, Lord, as to the meaning of the Spirit. Lord, remember us in mercy. Grant the Aarons and the Hurs. Remember those who listen along from their homes. Oh, wilt thou also give them a blessing tonight, that they may experience that thou art not bound. Look so upon us in condescending mercy, for Jesus' sake only. Amen. Let us continue with the singing of Psalter 213. And there of the stanzas 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, Jehovah was wroth because they forgot to hope in their God and trusted him not. Yet gracious he opened the doors of the sky and rained down the manna in richest supply. 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 of 213, while in the meantime your offerings will be received. Thank you. Beloved hearer, the Psalter 213 that speaks of the nation Israel when they were in the wilderness, and those people, they were delivered by the Lord out of Egypt in a remarkable way. They have seen something of the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai. And then maybe you would say, those people sin, that's impossible. But God's word has recorded, and we have sung also with the poet, but still unbelieving, they sinned even then. And then because of their sin, he smote with his rod. And then they returned and sought for their God. Their rock and redeemer was God the Most High. Yet, false were their praises, their promise a lie. Ah, that those words, congregation, that is now the testimony of those people. But who are you and me? Well, you became your own congregation, and that is Netherlands Reformed. That's a church from the Reformation. What did the Lord do then? He came back. What did he come back with? The truth. Not the truth in head knowledge, but in the heart. Think only of how Martin Luther, with all his head knowledge, was unjustified with God. And that was his struggle. Until the Lord came over with the solution. And think of the light that Calvin was allowed to receive on the truth. And also earlier, John Knox. And more of those reformers who God gave as light. And what do we do with it? Reformed? Oh, we are no different, congregation. We are no different. Unbelief. That is our chief sin. That we have a will not right with their God in heart and in will. That is our problem. And now the greatest problem of it all is, congregation, that we have the name Reformed. We come from Sunday to Sunday under the truth, and we go on. We go on. And that all has its place. We have to work. We can't stand still. No, but does it ever weigh upon your heart? Unconverted, not right with God. Can you just fall asleep at night, boys, girls? Or do you sometimes fall asleep on your knees by your bed? Because it isn't right with God, and you are seeking His countenance in prayer. Is there pages of your Bible wet with tears because it isn't right with God? And now my dear congregation, listen this. We receive another commemoration of that great truth of the Reformation, but do you know what it is time for? And may the Lord yet give it. That again, that light begins to shine, and you have no control over it, and I have no control over it. That is now only that the Lord is able to have that those dealings with us, that light would again begin to shine. But in light of that, the Lord sent prophets to those unbelieving people. And He did not say, yeah, it is because you're unconverted, so that's why. Then it doesn't matter. You're unconverted, so then it is hopeless. No, he pointed them that it was time. It was time to seek the Lord. And now in 2023 Reformation commemoration, you know what time it is? Time to seek the Lord. I go to my text words, which you can find in Hosea 10, the verses 11 and 12. Those are my text words this evening, the verses 11 and 12 from Hosea 10, where God's word reads thus. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So far, my text words. Underneath it, Ephraim called to reformation. Ephraim called to reformation. 3 points. First, their current declension. Their current declension. Second, their commanded reformation. Their commanded reformation. And third, their promised fruit, their promised fruit. So Ephraim called to reformation. First, their current declension. That is verse 11. There I read in figurative language who Ephraim is. A heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. That is their current declension. My second point, their commanded reformation. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. As their commanded reformation. And my third point, their promised fruit. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That is a fruit that the Lord is coming. He says that in his word. He commands them to the reformation. But fruit of that work, of that true reformation in the heart, that is that God is going to come to his people. And congregation, that's the core of salvation. That is also for God's people the case. Are they here tonight too? Who are longing that they may know it again, that he is with them. That they may hear his voice. That they may receive a token. That he is not a God who is afar, but a God who is nearby. And that is now that last part, that fruit, till he come and rain righteousness upon you, their promised fruit. May the Lord guide us tonight into our text words. And that he may be pleased to leave a reformation blessing behind amongst young and old. So their current declension. These words, my ears, comes from the Bible book of Hosea. And you always have to remember the words, the names, that has already a meaning. So children, if you were walking over the streets in Israel, and your parents would point out, there goes Hosea, then right away you would know that is then the Lord saves. His name meant the Lord saves. So notice Hosea hasn't said a word, and already that testimony. The Lord saves. But how? How does the Lord save? That's pictured. Hosea has to marry a harlot. We write that off. That's the gutter of society. And we have no affiliation in dealings with it. The Lord says to Isaiah, that's your wife, a harlot. And that was a picture. As if to say, Israel, that's my relationship with you. You have gone after your idols. You've left me. You've been unfaithful. So you see that Hosea, the Lord saves, that there's a message. The Lord is going to glorify the truth in light of that salvation. And Hosea is called to be a prophet unto Israel's 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, and that is often also called Ephraim. So when our text words also say, and Ephraim is a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, Ephraim is the symbolic name for the 10 tribes of Israel. And that northern kingdom, you know, children, they had no converted kings. The 2 tribes, the southern kingdom, they still from time to time were allowed to have kings who feared the Lord, who also granted reformation. Think only of Josiah. But the northern tribes did not have that. But they had prophets. They had prophets. It wasn't only Hosea who was specially called for the 10 tribes. Also Amos. He was also a special task to those 10 tribes, the northern part, Ephraim. And now that is here, Ephraim is a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. Ephraim is also a remarkable name. That means fruitful. That you can also read in Genesis. When Joseph gave his second son that name Ephraim. So actually Ephraim also has an Egyptian descent. Because he came from Joseph. But his mother, that was the wife. That his mother was the daughter of the high priest of On. So that was also the Egyptian religion. But he received a place under the truth. And now here that symbolic name for those northern tribes, that northern kingdom. And then their description, their current declension, Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught. And the word heifer, especially in the Bible, that is used to describe a young calf. You find that in other places, like in Judges 14, verse 18, Samson, he refers to his wife also as a heifer. You have to understand that correctly. That was because he was just married. So that there you see the very clear token in the Bible how that word heifer is pointing to young, someone who is young. And now Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught. So that heifer, that not only the young part, but especially also in other places, also in Hosea, that heifer has to do with stubbornness. And that, especially in Hosea 4 verse 16, Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Well, there's dairy farmers here. You know that. How that those heifers, that they can be so stubborn, they won't move an inch. They just stand there. And now so also this Ephraim, that they are referred to as young, as stubborn, but now here also, in our text words, taught. So as a young heifer, as a stubborn heifer, that they have been taught, and that teaching, that means they have been instructed. Hosea is one of them. He was a prophet who came unto them with, thus saith the Lord. And now with that instruction, that is revealed that from their young days, as how that heifer is young. So from their young days they are taught, and what they were taught they love, because it says that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. So from their young days those heifers, Ephraim as a heifer, they were taught to tread out the corn, and that was that specific part of the harvest. But they also loved that treading out the corn. Those are two different things. And that has a meaning. Their current declension. Because that treading out the corn, what is that? That is a harvest task. And that is also, hey, we are kind of in that time period. The beans are mainly off, the corn is coming off. And that on a farm, the harvest time, that gives a certain joy. That gives to a farmer a certain satisfaction. And now this biblical image of their declension, they have been taught in that harvest time, and they love that harvest time. But now a farmer also says something preceded that harvest. That was the plowing. That was that dependence upon the rain. Zift said that was a stressful time. If it was always harvest on a farm, then everybody would be farmer. And now Ephraim loves it that way. They love the easiness. And now the harvest that was always in Israel also a blessing. Then the Lord had blessed their crops. So Ephraim is a heifer that has been taught and loves the blessings. Now who doesn't? Who doesn't love blessings? Who is looking for hardships? And now so their current declension, it was as if to say a time period of prosperity, and Ephraim went up in that. They were taught in the prosperity and they loved that prosperity. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. And you have to also notice, especially that here lays also a difference, because you have here that Ephraim, as that heifer that is treading out the corn, then the yoke is not on him. As if to say that animal has a certain free range. And when those oxen were plowing, then they needed a yoke upon them. Then they could not go every which way. Then they did not have so much liberty, so much freedom. Now there lays the picture of their declension. That with the blessings of the harvest, they have been taught in those blessings, and they have loved those blessings. But where was the Lord? Nowhere. Well, I shouldn't say nowhere. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images. They have made their own religion. And what kind of a religion is that? That is the religion of going up in the blessings and having a little bit of church, a little bit of religion. That is a farmer who has a Bible in his home. That is a farmer who is in church every Sunday. Those are church people that go up in the blessings of the harvest, in the blessings which the Lord gives them. But they are not willing to honor the God of those blessings. That's the current declension here in Hosea. That's our declension. The spirit of materialism, it consumes us. Our world conformity, It hinders us. But it is written in the Bible. As if to say, Cortland is a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the court. And so then NRC is a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the court. And oh, congregation, we know it, eh? We know it. But what we sung from 2:13, our unbelief. There lays now declared their current declension, and that is now of such a nature, because he says also in verse 11, yet I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break up his clods. As if to say, for a time I let it go, I passed over his fair neck, because there was no yoke on that neck. And when there's a yoke on that neck of those animals, that leaves its imprint. But his neck was fair because he never had that yoke. And I allowed it in my long suffering to go for a time. But I will make Ephraim to ride. And there lays three there. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow. And Jacob shall break up his clods. There you see the difference between the north and the south. And here again also the picture of agriculture. Judah shall plow and Jacob shall break his clods. That as if to say they will receive a different punishment than Ephraim. Because it says Ephraim will ride. And that riding that is pointing as how horses were riding in battle. Those horses they would ride them hard, you would say. They were in dangerous territory. And the captivity of the 10 tribes was harder, and or I could say also harsher, than the captivity of the 2 tribes. Ephraim also did not have that Cyrus would be raised up for their deliverance. Ephraim was taken by the Assyrians, Tiglath-Pileser. And he also had a different strategy with the captivity and the punishment. That they would mix the multitudes. And so the Jews of the 10 tribes have become a mixed multitude in various countries. And that is now all foretold because of their current declension. O congregation, the Lord is not an idle onlooker. He hears what Ephraim has heard out of the mouth of Hosea and the other prophets. And he has seen their unbelief and Cortland. The Lord knows what we hear from Sunday to Sunday. And he sees our unbelief. And therefore it is also here that God is making himself true unto his people. Then I for a time will ride over that fair neck. But I will make Ephraim to ride. I will come with my punishments. The captivity is a fact. So you see, Hosea, the Lord saves. But how? Through the way that the Lord is going to exalt. That he is a God who also will not bypass the iniquity of the fathers, but that he remembers that unto the third and fourth, unto the fifth generation. So you see, congregation, we have to deal with a living God. Ephraim's current declension, that is told them because God sees it. And now Reformation Day 2023, our declension, God sees it, God knows it, and we are not able to shift an ounce of the blame unto God. But it is our hardness of heart, it is our unbelief. Under all the callings that we keep going as slaves of the bank, that we keep going as slaves of the materialism. But congregation, it is a declension. And it is a declension which the Lord is going to visit. It says here that I will make Ephraim to ride. It is coming. I will drive him as a horse into battle. And now you hear it, the current declension. And yet verse 12 says something. For it is time to seek the Lord. And that honest prophecy of Ephraim, the door is not closed. And that honest prophecy that the Lord is going to ride Ephraim. And yet it is time to seek the Lord. And now congregation, 506 years since 1517, when Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg. And yet it is time tonight to seek the Lord. So you see very clearly what verse 12 says then, for it is time to seek the Lord. That is now pointing in the midst of all the declension that yet there is an appointed time. The word time in the Bible, congregation, that is a rich word. When we think of time, we look at our watch. Or we look at the current time. But the word time in the Bible is speaking of an appointed time. You know what that means then? When it says here in verse 12, for it is time to seek the Lord. That means there is an appointed time set in the counsel of the Lord. I will ride Ephraim. I have to punish. But yet it is time, my appointed time. I still will pluck brands out of the burning. And that those brands that are going to be plucked out of the burning, you have to understand that correctly. What kind of wood is that? That's not just wood that's burning on one side. That's burning on the one end and on the other end and in the middle. That piece of wood is on fire. Oh, maybe one so steeped into the materialism. So a slave of the bank. Payment after payment, loan after loan. And yet at this time, maybe one so steeped also in the addictions to sin, and yet at this time. Maybe one so far off the path because of a slave of that materialism, and yet at this time. But as brands that are burning, oh congregation, the time is serious. Ephraim is going to be ridden hard. The Lord is coming. I read again today in the newspaper an article about that assisted suicide. Congregation, our bill of sin by the Lord is increasing. And the Lord is not an idle onlooker. And if you see what's happening in the Middle East, that happened to us as a surprise. But that was God's dealing. And yet it is time. In the great declension. And how many times we go to church on Sunday. But may I say it this plainly. From Monday to Saturday we park our Bibles. We park God in the corner and we go our own way. And yet it is time. Yet the Lord is coming tonight. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But yet it is time to seek the Lord. And that is an appointed time congregation. That means there is a God who stands above that time. That means there is a God who is ordering all things according to his counsel in that time. And what is he ordering? Hosea, go. Go to Ephraim. Tell them that at this time, and that I will pluck brands out of that fire. Oh, then you see, congregation, that great declension. What must that now be? That has to, if it is right, that has to become our guilt. Our guilt. And then, well, there's a command. The Lord does not just say it is time to seek the Lord. And that I must also say that, yet not only the time that it is appointed, but that word seeking also has meaning. That is a people who are seeking communion with God. That's not just the people who are doing their due diligence and read the Bible every day and they're okay with it. They have a quiet conscience yet. But as a people who have lost something, as a people in the time of the cleansing who have lost God, who are missing that fellowship and communion with God, yet it is time to seek the Lord, for it is the time. Oh, then you see, now there comes my second point, that their commanded reformation. So the Lord does not just say it is time to seek and he leaves it over. Figure it out. Fill it in yourself. No. The Lord never does that. And therefore we better be on our watch, congregation, that we don't usher in a different way to seek the Lord in our homes, in our churches, in our schools. Because the Lord comes with instruction in that time to seek the Lord. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Sow, that's the first thing. What is it? Plant. Children, did you see the corn standing in the fields? Those tall stalks of corn? How did that begin? With a small seed in the soil. Those who seek God in time of great declension, the Lord doesn't talk right away about cedar trees and mighty fruits. May I say it this plainly, congregation? It doesn't talk about justification right away. Talks about a seed, the seed of regeneration, conversion. That is a seed that goes in the depths of the soil and that lays there for a while, but is alive and is going to seek God. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, small in size. And especially in the time of great declension, you know seed needs water. But Hosea was raised up. That seed that is here instructed, their commanded reformation, the Lord does not just say, just sow. No, then with that sowing, the Lord is also going to provide for that seed. Although it is small in size, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And what does a farmer do when he seeds? And you know what he actually does? He makes the earth pregnant. Really? Because he comes by that field every time and he has expectation that that seed is going to come up. Sow in righteousness. That truth of God's word. Parents, be busy in your families. Sow in righteousness. Because in that time of materialism, congregation, and in that new way to seek the Lord, so many evenings are bestowed upon activities of the church, activities of the school, and the list goes on. But parents, we have a duty. And that is to sow the seeds in righteousness amongst the children whom the Lord has given you. In all simplicity, but with dedication and with prayer, to seek that what is sown may be sown in righteousness. And that's also how the Lord is not leaving it up to fill it in for ourselves. No, sow to yourselves in righteousness, so that is right away displaying my way, not your way. Sow in that righteousness. That righteousness here, that is mentioned as if to say conform to the standard of God. So that doesn't mean we need new Bible translations. We have God's word in the English language, as close to the original as you can get it, with the King James Version. And now to sow in that righteousness, that is in that way, according to that standard to the Lord. And when that standard is maintained, how does that go? That's on your knees. When Martin Luther had a lot to do in one day, he would wake up 3 hours earlier to bestow himself in prayer. Yeah, then I have enough myself here tonight, congregation. But I have to say it. In the declension, sow in righteousness. Is there still a dependence upon the Lord? Also for the work that is done in the church. Yeah, we say we do it in dependence. Of course we say it. But is it also followable in the fruits? Do you ever have to go out of your bed at night, office bearers? For the seed to be sown in righteousness. Can you sometimes not sleep because of the sermon that was read? Lord, thy word, I have sown it in righteousness. Oh, that needs prayer, congregation. What is prayer? Yeah, that's seeking God. That's sowing in righteousness according to that standard of God, that we need him. And that is now also in that righteousness, that standard, then right away also it says, reap in mercy. As if to say, then you can expect fruit. What is sown in righteousness will be reaped in mercy. And that mercy is here the word of covenant benefits. So what will be reaped, that's not because of your doing. But that is because of that gracious intervention of the Lord. That he says, sow in righteousness, then you will reap in mercy. And mercy here, that is going to display that unworthiness to receive mercy, and yet to receive it. That wonder that the Lord does not bypass. And then notice the order of the text. They sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. As if to say that sowing and that reaping, that's one thing. But now Hosea lays also an emphasis on something. Break up your fallow ground. And that fallow ground, that is a field that is untilled, that is unplowed. And now the command is that that needs to be plowed. And now, congregation, if we are unconverted, what does that mean? Our heart has not been plowed. That means that that plowshare of the law never went in. And now the Lord has commanded their reformation. Sow, reap. But that to break up that fallow ground. Do you see where it is ending? Or I should say where it is beginning. Lord, have mercy upon us and our children. When it says here, break up your fallow ground, that means my heart has to change. That means I can sow, but if my heart is now fallow, then that seed is coming, but not in that well-prepared soil. And now the command for the Reformation, that does not just say, sow the seed in righteousness, reap in mercy, but the command to their conversion is that they need a new heart. They are commanded to have a new heart. And the Lord lays that from this Bible text, and the Bible does that in all places. He lays that by the heart of a sinner. Break up your fallow ground. That means that breaking up, that now is pointing to that necessity. It can't stay the way it is because your ground is fallow. And for that seed that is sown in righteousness to have value, then that heart that is fallow needs to be broken. So do you see where a commanded reformation brings his people? On the knees. Ephraim is commanded to break up the fallow ground, is commanded to become converted. Not because God says you can do that, but because I require that. And that requirement, congregation, that needs to become our inability. That needs to become my impossibility. Then you sit here tonight, you say, Lord, the sowing in righteousness, the reaping in mercy, but my fallow heart, my hard, hard heart, and that under the command, that means there comes a people who are declared guilty as unconverted ones. God never declares his people guilty as converted. Never. The Lord declares guilty to be unconverted, and then he can do something. That is a people who lay here in their impossibility that there would ever be a reaping in mercy. That is a people who have to own their impossibility of conversion. Have you ever sat by your Bible like that? Have you ever sat in church like that under the command to become converted, but impossible? And not that the finger goes to God, but here, because that fallow ground, that is hard, whose fault is that? That is because of that unbelief. Unbelief hardens. Going in the ways of sin and in the ways of the world, that hardens. Materialism hardens. So you see that fallow ground, congregation, that is our fault. And now the command is break it up. And now the command, congregation, leaves us. Not as people who can shift blame, but there we sit, eh? How must reformation ever happen? Oh, is there one who has prayed to the Lord Lord, it can never come from my side anymore. Break up your fallow ground, and they have to say, Lord, I agree with it. That is what has to happen. My fallow ground has to be broken, and therefore, congregation, it is time to seek the Lord. That is an appointed time. God does not do a half work. God will not make guilty. Sometimes the Lord keeps guilty for some time. That's good. That's profitable. People are delivered so soon nowadays. This text, that Psalter line. But yeah, it has to go a little deeper, people. That fallow ground has to be broken up. And then you come in your impossibility and in your guilt. And then you, I hope you understand me correctly, congregation. But then you sit there for a while. And you sit there for a while. Then you read Psalters, you say, that's for someone else. That's for people who don't have such a hard heart as me. Then you can read promises, but you say, that's for people whose hard heart has been broken. And that's now my impossibility. Oh God, is there yet a way? And now it says it is time to seek the Lord. Why is it time to seek the Lord? Because I am found of them that sought me not. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And now therefore it is time to seek the Lord, because God is going to bring in that witness amongst Ephraim that he breaks that fallow ground, and that he says, then I do something. Promised fruit, I do something. What do? I come to you. Would be a wonder tonight. In your impossibility with your fallow ground, with your hard heart, with your guilt, with your impossibility to reform, would it be a wonder tonight if God would come by you? Say, is that possible? That's what God's word says. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Oh, then it says here tonight that the Lord says, I have a promised fruit. And that is now declared in my third point. But let us sing first. 217. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1-4 of 217. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come. I said it is an appointed time. It's not just how we look at our watch and say it is time. No, it is the appointed time. And then in that appointed time, first time to seek, and then the word find, no. Till he come. You know what the word till is? That is an extension in that time. And that word till is connected to God's will. And what is God's will? That he reign. He come and reign righteousness upon his people. Doesn't say that. It says upon you. Oh, when the Lord comes unto a guilty one whose heart has that fallow ground so hard. And I said the plowshare of the law. Yeah, that breaks, but it doesn't heal. And it doesn't talk about a plowshare here, it talks about the rain. And then here, Isaiah 32, listen what that says. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Till. I said that is connected to God's will. And the will of God is that his people would be saved. And now in that appointed time, there is a people who learn to wait in that till he comes. And all congregation, their reformation wasn't about Bible texts and psalter lines. But the reformation was about God in the heart. That presence of God was made known through his Spirit in the heart. Oh, Martin Luther read many words. Martin Luther read many texts, many hymns. He loved to sing. But the just shall live by faith. And then God came into his soul to reveal himself. I have come down till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Congregation, here it says that the Lord is going to come with himself. Until he come. Oh, there I hear a Jacob laying on his deathbed. And Judah comes by him. Until Shiloh come. And now congregation, what is it in your life? What is it in my life? Is there guilty ones here tonight? Who are waiting till he come? That is a people who are looking through his word for him to come. Those people come to church and have a desire in their heart. Come. Oh, that is a people who go on their knees and say, Lord, come. And now this evening the Lord is saying unto Ephraim, I'm coming. There is an expectation. That fallow ground is going to be moistened with the rain of his righteousness. That fallow ground is going to be moistened by that rain which is according to the standard of God. That word righteousness is here again. And what is now according to the standard of God? That isn't from you, that isn't from me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There lays the righteousness of his standard. That's also Romans 1 verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That is in that gospel that lays secure in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. And I say to a hard one tonight who mourns over his hardness, who says in his inner chamber, Lord, is there yet one who is able to break this fallow ground? I tell you tonight, there is one. His name is Jesus, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Oh, that is this mediator whom God has appointed. And now the Church of the Reformation. Yeah, what was that? That was only Christ. Only Christ. Was there no Father? Was there no Holy Spirit? Of course there were. But that beloved Savior congregation, he is the gift of the Father. And now the Father said unto his Son, go. And it says in the Bible tonight, he comes. There lays the will of the Father in the sending of the Son. There lays the will of the Son in being sent by the Father. And now that Son is come. And what was his purpose? Oh, that was to restore righteousness. For himself? No. For his people. And therefore they will receive by the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, who was poured out on that Pentecost day, to have that image of Christ pressed on them and in them. And by that Holy Spirit, that reign of that righteousness has flowed, congregation. Ephraim is commanded to reformation. We are too. And now tonight, oh, that fallow ground needs to be broken, congregation. And as I said, with the law, that you get lumps of hard fallow ground. But with that bedowing work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, when the gospel is revealed in that person, then there comes a rain so soothing, so smooth, that the church says, now it is right between God and soul. That rain of that righteousness that says, that heart by faith may know, now he has come to me to make it right. And then that faith that God gives, that may appropriate that Savior and all his benefits. That word righteousness in the original language is pointing to those benefits of that covenant. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, that is by faith given to those people. And now therefore, congregation, all may I ask tonight, is there a church here, a living church, under the guilt of their fallow ground? Is there people here tonight under the guilt of their unconverted heart, who labor with that? Who lay on their inner chamber with that? Then I say this evening, there is one coming. That's God's word. There is one coming, and it says, till he come to rain righteousness upon you. Upon you. And that shall be, oh, then that church says, then his coming shall be my sweetest moment here below. And it will be. It will be. Look at those shepherds. When they were allowed to hear Jesus born in that stable, laid in a manger, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, then they left that place with joy, because now that reign of righteousness has bedewed them. Oh, that reign of righteousness in Christ Jesus, that is for dry souls. That is for hard souls. That is for souls who have to complain in their guilt how hard it is between them and God, and how they have to labor under that guilt. But it says tonight, till he come and all congregation, it is time to seek the Lord. Our nature will go on, our nature will go on. The phone will start again. You probably have some messages waiting after church. And tomorrow the calls will come again. But shall you remember it? As it said that here in verse 11. I passed over upon her fair neck a little time yet. A little time with your busyness. A little time with your world conformity. A little time with your materialism. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. God will have the last word, my dear unconverted ear. And that you can continue in your slavish fear of the world. But I tell you this evening, there is a God in heaven who breaks fallow ground. There is a God in heaven who provides seed in righteousness, who will have a remnant that will reap in mercy. And he says he comes to them, that the Lord may then also give, that that may yet draw an unconverted one out of that materialism, that that may yet draw an unconverted one out of all that sin of today, and may come to lay before God and say, Lord, my ground is unbreakable. My fallow ground, my heart, harder than the nether millstone. And then tell him tonight you heard that he comes. Tell him that tonight. And then ask the Lord, lead me, guide me in that way untrod before. Oh, Lord, take me by heart and hand, because otherwise I also, as it says that later, how those children and those women shall be dashed upon those stones. Congregation, it is serious, Lord. God is real. God is real. The Lord is coming with his judgments. And I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom, Lord, but I bring you God's word. And I don't know how much time we have left. But one thing I know, the Lord still gave a message tonight to declare unto a congregation, Cortland, I will come. Oh, may the Lord grant them also an application. Amen. Lord, we ask of thee to bind it upon our hearts. Our Ephraim existence needs to become real. Thy Holy Spirit is the only one who can do it. May we ask thee for it. Go with us when we leave this place. Oh, thou knowest the time in which we live. Lord, wilt thou grant yet a returning unto thee? Wilt thou give that we may seek thee in our inner chambers, that we may receive opening from thee unto thee, to confess our hardness in our fallow ground? We heard tonight, Lord, there lays our impossibility, but thou hast come down, and there lays the possibility. Oh, Lord, have dealings with us. Remember this flock. Help the brothers in the consistory. Lord, remember them in mercy. May we thank thee for the opportunity we receive tonight to serve them. May we do that more often. In dependence upon thee, we beg it of thee. In Jesus' name only, amen. Our closing psalter is 128. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. For time's sake, we only sing 1 and 2. 1 and 2 of 128. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.